Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Welcome, everybody. This is Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is the Approaching the Natural podcast. I'm really happy to have you with me again. This episode marks, I now have twice as many episodes up, and that's a huge benchmark. I'm really proud of myself for doubling here. And the first episode was up last week, and if you haven't caught that, go back and check it. It's kind of sets the stage for things to come, and this is one of those things. However, if you're just joining me and you're sticking here, this is a podcast on philosophy of health. I cover all things from nutrition to creativity to mindfulness to movement and probably a ton more, and we'll just see how that plays out. I do plan on having a couple guests in the near future, and there'll be less interviews and more conversation type things, but I've got a couple people exciting, cool stuff coming up, I think in October, so that should be pretty cool. Other than that, I got some stuff to get into today, and I'm really happy about it. But before that, I want to make a quick announcement, which is that I will be speaking at the San Francisco Veg Fest on September 29th. That's a week from today, actually, in San Francisco. And the website is www.sfvs, as in Sam at the end there, .org. If you go to schedule, you'll see me on Sunday. I start at 11:45 in the main auditorium. And it's Lincoln and 9th, I think, is the address. But best to go there. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, best to go to the site. The other news is that my new friend, Matt Frazier, who is the No Meat Athlete blogger, and he's got a book coming out. But anyhow, he's on a big tour, and he's asked me to join him on a couple events as well. And so things are still lining up on that. Right now, it looks like potentially October 28th in Oakland at a place called The Hub. And then again on October 30th in San Francisco at the Sports Basement, and it's their Presidio location. So I'll keep you posted. The best thing to do also is go to my website, www.transitioningtohealth.net. And you can also find me at the Wellness Center that I head up at the Stanford Inn Eco Resort. It's called the Mendocino Center for Living Well, and that website's livingwellmendocino.com. So that's it for that. I just wanted to make those quick announcements so you know where to find me. And that's how that goes. Anyway, so let's roll. Two quick things. So I'm starting a podcast, right? And I'm going, okay, I got all the equipment and set it up, and I got a pretty good microphone and set it up, and it was pretty sounding good in the tests and everything. So last week I ran the first episode, and I'm right on the microphone the whole time, and I'm digging it. It's good, great. And I finish it and find out that I hadn't actually switched over to that really nice microphone and had used the crappy little internal microphone in my laptop that was like 2 feet away, and didn't know it till after. And I didn't want to lose all the stuff that I had read, so I just went with it. So if hopefully this sounds better, because this really is the microphone that I intended to use. So I'm trying to make it at least a pleasant here, if that's possible. So that's good. The other thing I said in the first episode was that I didn't want to make this all about food, and it's really not, but I have to start there, and I'm going to do that. So even though I said I am going to touch on a whole bunch of different stuff in this podcast, but we're going to begin with food, at least a touching on it. And that's because one of my, well, my philosophy of nutrition is that while I don't think it is the end-all be-all and that it, you know, will solve everybody's everything, I do think that is the foundation of health. I think it is about feeding the machine the good tools to thrive. I make the argument in the book that we are designed to thrive, that we have a drive in us to be healthy, and that when we're in conflict with that is when we break down. We don't feel good. We have sickness and disease and everything else that happens when we're not in a state of balance. And I think nutrition plays the biggest role in that. Not the only role, but the biggest role. And I think that it's short-sighted to think that you can treat your body poorly by feeding it nutrient-deficient food and then go see a psychiatrist or go to yoga or go to Chinese herbalist or go to Ayurvedic practitioner or a Tibetan herbalist or whatever you're doing, when you're depriving your body of the basic tools it needs to do its job. I think those things are all great, by the way, but I do think it starts with what you feed your body. So I'm going to get into that a little bit because I'm kind of like the anti-nutritionist. I'm a nutritionist, but I really learned early on that the whole measuring, weighing, counting model is does it not work, and that's probably the biggest part about it. It doesn't work. People don't stick to it. It's not sustainable. But I argue that the reason for it not being sustainable is because it's not natural. We're not designed to think about food in the way that we do. We're not designed to plan and weigh and do all the crazy stuff that we do. We are a species like all the other millions of species in a way, in this sense. We go out and we should be finding food and eating it. And I think that in the modern world, what we've done with our diets is just insanity. And it doesn't lead to quality of life. And my thing is, like, if it worked and made you happy or made me happy, I'd say all for it. But it doesn't. And I also think we're designed to be happy, by the way. I think what we try to do in our lives is to achieve a level of joy in our lives. And sometimes food can actually stand in the way of that. I don't care how healthy it is. I've met people and seen people who eat incredibly healthy diets who are not healthy at all because of their relationship to food. It is prohibitive to their experience in life. All they think about is food. All they talk about is food. I've been eating extremely healthy for about 10 years. I don't talk about my food. I don't think about my food. I'm used to doing it. I've got over the hump so that my behavior day to day is just, I just eat what I eat. And yet in most social situations, I'm blown away by how much the topic of food comes up. I never bring it up. I don't talk about it, but it comes up a lot, especially when people look and see what I'm eating and then they want to know why and et cetera, and why my family eats the way that it does, which is fine. I'm happy to go there, but I don't offer it because it's kind of boring to me anyway, but neither here nor there. It's actually not boring. It's just, I think it's a topic that is unnecessary. I think if you surround yourself with healthy food and eat it, you're fine. And then go on in your life and do all the cool stuff. So we'll get to that in a second. I want to touch on, are you ready? Drum roll, paleo, the paleo diet. I mentioned that in my last podcast that I would touch on that today, and I'm going to. And I'm considering it as kind of a gateway topic into a larger discussion, which I'm going to get into when I'm done with that, and just to show you where I sit, and where I want you guys to just consider, just think about what I'm talking about. You don't have to change anything, but just see this as a different angle and how that sits with you. The paleo diet is just that. It's a diet. And where the paleo and I sort of see eye to eye is that we both, as if paleo is like some guy in Tulsa, Mr. Paleo and I, what we share is that it is an argument that when we return to our natural or our supposedly natural state that we thrive, that I agree with. I do think that the more we return, I argue by degrees, so I'm going to argue for very small steps. I'll get into that in the bigger portion of this talk. But paleo agrees. It says, okay, let's look at how humans used to eat, and let's model after that. And that way, we're eating more appropriate things, and therefore being healthy. And that's not a bad argument. I think it's actually a very good argument to make. I think that here's what I think paleo goes off the rails in a couple different ways. And I talked about this with Ritual. Ooh, okay, super quick aside. I wanted to thank Ritual, by the way. I was on his podcast in February. He's a buddy of mine now, and he's been real supportive of me and the book, and he blurbed my book, but he also steered me in the right direction about how to get this podcast going up. So props to him. And I also wanted to just thank all the clients that I've worked with over the years, the brave souls, and I really think it is a courageous thing, especially for some who are, you know, middle-aged, to just take ownership of their health and say, you know what, I'm ready to roll on this and make a change. I think it's a hugely difficult thing to do, especially if you're in a family that doesn't eat that well and you're kind of battling that whole dynamic. And I just think it's fantastic. I'm dedicate these podcasts to you because it's such an inspiration to see these people just make changes. It's so awesome. Okay, back to the subject. I mentioned this on Rich's podcast. That's what made me think about that. But anyhow, the paleo diet goes off the rails this way. Okay, they assume a couple mistakes. One is that all people in the Paleolithic period were eating the same things. That's ridiculous. It's not like it was one family in Tucson, and they just ate a certain way, and then they left evidence of that, and we discovered it. Went, oh my God, they were eating this way in Tucson. We should totally eat this way, and then we're good. That's not the case. I'll backtrack one second by saying this. We are designed to find the best calorie source we can. We are designed to find the most easily gotten calorie source we can. If we're surrounded by food that is readily available, we're not going to go chase an antelope for 20 miles. We're just not going to. That's not how we're built. Why would we expend that much energy to find energy? If we have it close to us, we'll do it. And this gets into my health coaching with people, is that part of being healthy is what you surround yourself with in your house. Because if you get home and you're having a crappy day and there's Ben and Jerry's in your freezer and you get it, if it's not there and there's other stuff, there's a better likelihood you're not going to get in the car to go get it, even though getting in a car expends almost no energy. But you're going to probably just say, ah, you know what? I'm not going to deal with it. I'm just home. I'm just going to have what I have here. So it's just something to think about. It's a model after our human, our design, our drive, which is to find the easiest calorie source with the least amount of energy expended. That is how we work. So the paleo diet fails because I think it's off the mark because they assume that we all ate the same things. What I would say is that some species, some individuals who lived in, let's say, near the equator, had a lot more plants available, probably ate way more plants because it was readily available. Those that lived in the northern climates with less access to plants probably ate more animals. We'll go for the best calorie source we can find. Nowadays, if you're looking at the quality of calories, plants are readily available. We have, for better or for worse, created a food system whereby we have access to plants. If I didn't have access to plants, I would eat an animal. It is not that simple to say, well, let's break it down like we do any other diet and go, okay, well, some plants and this much animal protein and da 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 da, and measuring it out, and there, here we go back to the craziness of a food plan and all this kind of stuff. In any given day, we're going to eat the best calorie source. We're going to try to find the best calorie source we can. A lot of problems arise because we have access to calorie sources now that are just totally cuckoo, like a Big Mac, you know, where you can go into a drive-thru and not expend any energy. And barely any money, by the way. It's totally cheap. And don't get me started on the nuttiness of our food industry here. But for cheap, I just spent $2.29 on a single cucumber. I am not joking. And that's the ridiculousness, is that, you know, I gotta pay attention to that, because if I just left it up to the market forces and to my own instinct, I'd be running through McDonald's, because for $1.50 or whatever a Big Mac is, I'd be getting way more calories. But they wouldn't be healthy calories. And I'm gonna, you know, we'll get into this. This is a series of podcasts, so we're gonna touch on all these things. But it's way more about the quality of calories than the quantity. So paleo, off the charts nutty, because it's one thing. Jeff Stanford, who owns a Stanford Inn, gets catalogs of cookbooks, and I'm not joking. One of them on the cover had a paleo cookbook with a picture of fried friggin' chicken. On the cover of the cookbook, a paleo cookbook with fried chicken, because apparently paleo people everywhere were shaking and baking in their caves. I don't even know how anybody can, with a straight face, put this kind of stuff out. It's nutty, and I'll leave it at that. That's scientific speaking, by the way. Anyhow, that's number one. The second thing that paleo fails to do, in my opinion, is it doesn't take into consideration the entire picture of human health. And that's why I approach human health certainly from nutrition, remember, because I think it's the foundation, but also because of movement and creativity and connection to the earth and all these kinds of things. That's where paleo fails. The paleo diet lays it out such that you can walk into Safeway and buy ground beef in a package with covered with cellophane and be on the paleo diet. Nuts. Nuts. I coined a term right now called Safeway Paleo. If you're Safeway Paleo, you're not paleo. Do you know what I'm saying? Paleo, we did a few things. We hunted and gathered for our food. We moved our bodies. We were connected to the earth. We were in fresh air. We were in sunlight. We were outside. We would move and in therefore be healthier by virtue of moving. Just looking at food alone doesn't complete the picture. Now let's talk about the animals. That Safeway paleo follower goes in and buys this cellophane beef, cellophane covered beef that has been stored. It has been transported. It has been raised, sometimes eating food that is totally not appropriate for it. Cows do not eat corn and soy. They are designed to eat grass. And if you're going to eat beef, eat grass-fed beef. Eat organic grass-fed beef. Huge step in the right direction. So anyway, that's where they miss it. I'm going, are you kidding? So let's think about what we used to do. When we would kill an animal, that animal would be wild. It would be running around, escaping predators, or at least moving to find its own food. And it would be eating the most healthy food on the planet, which is wild plants growing out of nutrient-dense soil. So the nutrition that the animal would eat would go into its flesh, and we would eat its muscles and thereby get more nutrition out of its muscles than we do getting it out of an animal that is stuck in a pen that doesn't have to move to escape predators or to find its own food. And it's fed junk water as well. And it's full of junk. And sometimes in the non-organic world, animals are oftentimes injected with antibiotics all the time. And who knows what else? Other hormones and all sorts of crazy stuff we're doing. It's just like a science, it's like a mad scientist experiment. So if you want to talk paleo, let's bring in the whole picture of the paleo and let's establish that different peoples in different areas ate different things, but we all shared some common things, which is that we weren't going through a drive-through. And when we searched out the best calorie source we could find, it was never a Big Mac. It was never a Big Mac. And by the way, I love Big Macs. I mean, Big Mac, large fries, 6-piece chicken McNugget, and a large Coke. Good night, Johnny. That was me. Haven't done it in years, folks. But it was good memories. I still have cravings, incidentally, driving by McDonald's. I still can taste the Big Mac. I must need more protein. Don't get me started on cravings in the modern world. We go to that too. But there's so much stuff. It's so funny because sometimes I think, God, am I going to have enough stuff to talk about? I could probably fill 8 podcasts today and just bore the living crap out of you. Anyway, I hope you're enjoying this so far because I am. No, I really am. This is really fun. Okay, so onwards and upwards. We're looking for the highest level of nutrition. That's instinctually what we're looking for. However, in the modern world, because we're surrounded with so much low quality nutrient food, which by the way, we created, okay? Because in the wild, there is no low quality calories. Even the animals, like I just said, that we ate are of such a higher quality. It's ridiculous. We take a whole grain and we refine it and take out the essential fats and oils and the fiber and most of the vitamins, and 90% of the trace minerals are lost during refining. That's what we do. We create that. We create the food that is what I call in my book, light box. It's calories without micronutrients. It's gas without oil. It's fuel without the stuff that the body needs to process fuel in a clean, efficient manner. We made it. We make olive oil. We take an olive and we squeeze out the oil and make something that's 100% fat and 100% ridiculous. Do I have olive oil once in a while? Sure. What I'm talking about is the best calorie source possible. When I get into actually living in the modern world and working through things and having a healthy relationship with food, I'll touch on all these kinds of things. But purely just health-wise, that's where I'm at on that. We create the light box foods. We create that and thereby create a very, very strong conflict with our natural design. And we are addicted to that. When we create light box foods and eat them, we become addicted to them. When we still breastfeed from a cow, even though what Paleo and I do share is that is that milk has no business in the body, and it's a very relatively modern addition to our human diet. But what people don't understand is that it's an opiate. It's got an opiate effect in the body. They're called casomorphins. Look it up. Google it. Casomorphins. And there's literally an opiate effect in the brain. So it's not easy to give up cheese. I get it. People are addicted, literally addicted in the same way that you are addicted to any drug, period. It has a calming effect. It's there for a reason, which is that it speaks more to the infant mother relationship than it does to an adult male still, or adult human still breastfeeding. And so you have to work through that. What do? You have to pay attention. You have to make a willful effort. And I'm going to get into will in next week's podcast, because I'm going to start touching into mindfulness and paying attention and what that means. You have to pay attention. And it's easier said than done. And that's why I have a job, because I help people learn to pay attention. That's all I do, help people learn to pay attention. Because if I hand them, eat this, eat that, go on the paleo diet, go on Atkins, which you lose weight from, but you die, they'll follow it for a while and then they won't. And that's my whole life right now, is figuring out ways to actually make people transition to health, to figure out what it is that we can do. So that is my entry into the topic of diets in general. So my touching on the paleo diet is by way of making my point about diets, and I'll throw in cleanses in general, okay? I always come back at the end of the day to our natural design, and I just don't argue. Oh, well, I know I do argue that we have no business dieting, just like we have no business cleansing. Now, before I raise all the hair on your necks, sometimes cleansing can be appropriate. Fasting does exist in the natural world. Animals, when they're sick, will fast, and I'm a fan of that in that context. Here's what I'm not a fan of. Somebody going on a diet for 21 days, somebody doing a 7-day cleanse and eating unhealthy beforehand and unhealthy after. I'm not a fan of yo-yo dieting. 95% of diets fail. The reason why yo-yo dieting exists in the first place is because diets don't work, and yet we're always on the hunt for the next thing that's going to solve all our problems without lifelong behavioral change. That's where diets and cleanses come in. I've met so many people who I'm on a 21-day cleanse and they lose all this weight, and then everyone tells them how great they look and they get this inflated sense of self-worth. I hate to sound negative, but that's what it is, and they feel great, and guess what? It sucks for them. You want to know why? Because they gain all the weight back and then they feel worse about themselves than they did before they were on the cleanse. I don't want that for people. I want to build positive and on top of positive, on top of positive, until you get there. You're not going to get there by diets. You're not going to get there by cleanse. Your level of health is determined by this and this only: how you eat before the cleanse and how you eat after the cleanse, how you eat before the diet and how you eat after the diet, because that's what your body adjusts to. It adjusts to what you do most of the time. And a 21-day or even a 3-month thing ain't cutting it. Why? Because it's 3 months. You're 40. How old are you? I don't know how old you are. I can't even see you. And I know that you're not 2. So you have years under your belt of behaviors and foods that are built upon each other over the years. And it's going to take something longer than 21 day and a cleanse that you're paying somebody a crap load of money to do and feel good for that 21 days. How about you think about building over time? And understanding that changing your life and in any way takes time, and it's okay. It's okay. But I have to remind the people I work with, and I'll have to remind you in this podcast, to take it easy. Take a deep breath. If you do something good for yourself today, fantastic. Because if you did something today that you didn't do yesterday, then you just made a positive step. But you know what? For most people, that's not good enough. Well, I want to lose weight faster than that. Well, guess what? It ain't going to happen. I've known people who have had gastric bypass surgery and gain all the weight back. Lose a ton of weight, by the way. Lose a ton of weight. They can't eat. You know, they're talking about, I can only eat this much and I have to eat this little amount. They gain all the weight back and then some. You want to know why? Because they haven't done the work. Sorry, folks. It takes work. But guess what? It is the most worthwhile thing you could ever do. It feels phenomenal. And when you feel good because you earned that feeling, when it's true health, when your weight is just a side effect of the level of health of your body, you feel awesome. It's a gift. It's something you want to do. Is it work? Yeah. Guess what? A healthy relationship with your spouse takes work. Being a good parent takes work. You have to pay attention. Food is no different. It's no different. And people feel like they don't want to restrict and all these things that come up. And it's, I just can't believe how much we all talk about food. And I always wonder, and recently I've been asking some of my clients to imagine their lives, what they would be like if they didn't discuss or talk about food. I even went so far as to say, imagine what your life would be like if you, in the middle of the night, got all the nourishment and hydration and calories automatically in the middle of the night so that you didn't have to pay attention. So you woke up in the morning, you're set for the day no matter what kind of activity you do. You're a runner, whatever you do, it's just automatically adjusts. So you didn't have to eat or drink all day. What would your life look like? What would you do with that time? I mean, the only benefit for me of a cleanse is this, that you are aware of what you eat and you pay attention and you realize how much time you think about food. And by you, I mean me. I mean, it's astounding, like how much time in my life I have thought about food. I have designed entire days around meals and I'm not unusual. Okay, I'll get there at 10:30. That means we can hit this place for a scone, and then I'll be there, and then we can go there, and then at noon we're going to be near this restaurant, so we should hit that and get some enchiladas. It's like the whole day, and it's fun. And I get it. I get it. I understand it. I'm not trying to take that away from you. Again, it's what you do most of the time, right? So if you're on a trip, that's the appropriate time. If you have a dinner party, totally awesome, totally great. Go for it. You got friends over, make an awesome meal that's maybe less about nourishment, a little more about pleasure and sharing that meal. But if every meal you do every day is about getting you high, is about the pleasure and not about the nourishment of your body, you are going to be in conflict with your nature. Your body's going to be sitting there going, why are you feeding me stuff that is killing me? Why would you do that to me? I need the tools so that I can help you negotiate all the other craziness in the world, like traffic and Cinnabon and dolls. I don't even know. That was a stream of consciousness. I totally James Joyced it just there. It comes back down to that. Okay. So health is determined by what you do most of the time. And when you make small adjustments to that, it's profound because we do stuff every day. We eat so much every day. But what would happen if you didn't plan, if you just got natural stuff around you? And later in other podcasts, I'll get into that deeper, okay? But if you got natural stuff around you, natural food around you, real food, food that you could, you know, use in an appropriate and easy and least stressful way to your body, and you just ate it when you were hungry, what would that leave for you? Would you maybe go for a walk with friends? Would you hang out? Would you talk more? Would you converse more? Would you do something creative? Maybe you've wanted to read a book, write a book, paint a picture, record music. I mean, how much time would you have to live a pretty incredible quality of life day to day? I think it would be astounding. I know it would be because in my own guinea pig myself kind of thing, I've tried to do that and actually recently have really tried to do that, where day to day I'm eating very simple foods to see what that's like, and it is totally liberating. Now, yesterday we got invited over to a friend's house and they had a pizza oven and they're making pizzas. Now, I'm plant-based, so I had, you know, cheese that was not from a cow, it was made from plants and all these awesome toppings, but it was white flour crust. Junk, I get it, totally junk. But that's the meal. That's the one meal of the week. That's not going to tip the scales. I enjoyed it, earned it, totally felt great. I got there and I go, I'm going off on this pizza because it's fantastic. I didn't go, you know, bingy off, but I went off like enjoying it, had a couple beers. And I'm a nutritionist. You're a nutritionist and you drink beer? Yes, I do. I don't drink it that often. I also drink coffee. I don't drink it that often. Okay, there are things about the human experience that are pleasurable. Sorry, I like a good freaking espresso, man. I make a great espresso. I roast my own beans. Okay, it is what you do most of the time, and that blows people. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear it. They want to say, what I do most of the time doesn't make any difference because I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to make a soup out of cayenne and lemon and celery, blah, blah. I don't even know. I've heard so many things. And you can look at, by the way, go to your bookstore and look at the thousands of diet books and then wonder to yourself, huh, with all those diet books out there, why is the health of the country in the tubes? Why? Because they don't work, because it's not how the human species is designed. So there we are this week. We got past the second. I don't know why, but it's kind of ending up to be a 30-minute podcast. I'm okay with that. Although if you feel like you want me to go longer or to do more in a given podcast, throw me a tweet. And I still can't get my head around tweeting. My wife was like, you got to start tweeting when the book came out. She's like, you got to start tweeting. I was like, I don't want to tweet. She's like, you got to start tweeting. And now I kind of like it. Anyway, throw me a tweet. I'm at Garza Hillman. At Sid Garza Hillman. At Sid Garza Hillman. And my website, transitioningtohealth.net. And you can contact me through the website too. Facebook is just Transitioning to Health. So I'm out there, and I by the way, I was so happy to see the numbers on the downloads of the first one. It was super cool, and people are downloading all over the country, and it's awesome. And I am a word of mouth guy, so if you even pass this to one person and just say check it out, I would really appreciate it because it gets out there. It's always free. There's no charge to any of it. It's always will be free. I don't even know if you can charge for podcasts, but I ain't gonna. I'm just having a good time here, and I want to get deeper in a conversational way. It's been an incredible journey. I hate the word journey, but I like the band. And getting the book out and just being able to work with people all over the country and get emails from people that are connecting to this and making changes in their lives and getting tweets from people saying that they, you know, dug the book and that it hit them. I tried to make something really accessible and fun. I think the conversation about this is really fun, and I hope you have fun too with it, because I don't want to make it too serious. And at the same time, well, I think we're designed to have fun. So I'm going to try to do that with this. So anyhow, that's it. I hope to see somebody come visit me at the SF Veg Fest, 11:45 on Sunday, September 29th in the main auditorium. And come say hello. Tell me that you heard this podcast and I'll give you a matchbook. I don't have anything to give you. I don't have any matchbooks. Anyway, good. Thank you so much for listening. And please join in, subscribe, and spread it around. And be healthy and happy. Bye.